Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Center Ring. Episode 44, coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 17th, 2016. The time, 8:41. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey. My name is Tim. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. My co-pilot, my first mate, is Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Pretty good.
They can find you at Twitter or what is it? At Brandinny New.
Brandinny New, yeah.
There you go. Episode 44. It's going to be a good one. We have a lot to talk about. We've been off the last couple of weeks. Life got in the way. I'm sorry. We tried, but it's, you know, life, I guess. I'm now an uncle.
I was going to ask if you wanted to bring it up or not.
But. Yeah, man, why not? I'm now an uncle. It's the first time that I have a responsibility to a human life. Somewhat responsible.
Yeah, I was going to say, as another uncle, not a whole lot.
Not a whole
lot. It's all the fun without the work.
But it's the most responsibility I've ever had of another human life.
Yeah.
So that's what happened last week. So that kind of pushed everything back. It's kind of a big deal. I guess. It's cool. It's a baby. Just like any baby, but it's this family's baby, so. Oh. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how maybe he'll be the next Pasha. You never know. Maybe when he's older, esports will be a thing. Like a real thing. Not like an internet thing, but a real thing. Not an internet thing where...
Not like that thing that people are still kind of sketchy on admitting if they're involved in it or not.
Not a thing where a group of people will be apologists for it, but a real thing that is just there in everyday life. But no, we have a hell of a show for you for episode 44. Like I said, we've taken the last 2 weeks off, so we got e-news, plenty of things in e-news. Brandon, you want to bring up kind of casters or talent?
Yeah, I want to get your opinion on it too. I've kind of got my own formed, but I like having the discussions about casters kind of jumping from game to game to game.
Okay.
Inside of the esports scene.
So we'll discuss that. But one thing we were kind of talking about it, and it's like this last weekend, there wasn't a whole lot going on, and we've taken 2 weeks off, so we figured why not just kind of do a state of CSGO. Just talk in general, kind of what's going on with the scene. And a lot's going on because the fall seems to be the season. It's where all the leagues kind of end and begin and lots of things are starting. You have E-League coming up on Friday. That's Group A. That's going to start again on TBS. You have the Asian Minors. ESL Season 4 just finished up. ECS is still very young in its second season. So a lot is going on. So I kind of just wanted to use all that as kind of the groundwork to talk about some CSGO going on. So ESL Season 4, that just wrapped up. So that meaning, I believe it's what did I say earlier? The 28th, right?
Yes, yeah.
August 28th through the 30th is going to be their actual LAN finals. So you had online play finish up. The LANs are going to be in Brazil. So that'll be interesting.
By interesting, do you mean obnoxious?
You know what? If you want to make that, I respect our Brazilian listeners, so... I keep those comments. Yeah,
and you know what? The fact that Immortals and SK Gaming finished 2 and 3 in the North American bracket.
Conveniently placed in opposite groups.
Well, yeah, of course. They got to get as much mileage out of it as they possibly can.
So in ESL Season 4, you had the top 6 teams from Europe and the top 6 teams in North America move on. And then in groups, they jumbled them all up. So groups are not, you would think that. It would kind of just...
I'm surprised they didn't do like 1 versus 6, 2
right.
versus 5,
no,
3
so
versus 4.
Right, and that's what you think they would do. But this time around, they just did a melting pot, if you will. So in Europe, though, you had Fnatic, NiP, Mousesports, FaZe Clan, Team Envious, and Team Dignitas move on. Okay? leaving behind teams like Virtus Pro, Na'Vi, G2, Astralis, Hellraisers, and so on and so forth. Flipside getting last place in Europe. Take it all with a grain of salt, I guess, right? Astralis, they have been in a downward spiral for a while now, dropping Kerrigan and literally 4 days later, dropping his replacement. So now they are a team of four. I haven't heard anything happen with them. Kerrigan is now, he's unofficially, officially?
Rumor was Decay on...
our sources are
on
saying.
Twitter. Our sources,
Decay on Twitter.
Said that Kerrigan should be going over to FaZe in replace of Kiyoshima.
Who hasn't really done a whole lot since he's been.
Unless J. Kim plays like garbage, who Kiyoshima will then replace after another 2 weeks.
That makes no sense.
So Kerrigan's supposed to replace
right now,
Kiyoshima.
Kiyoshima is like, they're like, hey, bro, we're going to knock you off. We're going to bench you, but you might not be the worst.
Yeah. So if the other guy plays worse, we'll put you back on the roster.
That's kind of a slap in the
face. Decay also said that Glaive was supposed to be replacing the two empty or the empty spot on Astralis moving forward. So
long story short, we're just gonna have to give it a week or two.
Yeah, they said within the next 4 days to kind of see what shakes out.
I mean, I'm assuming they're gonna want them ready for
E-League is when they're supposed to start playing.
Okay, so
again,
that's the cutoff.
Yep.
Okay. So there's that, and what group are they in E-League? Oh, they're playing this week. They're in Group A for E-League. So they're really going to have to figure it out. Okay. Then, the one thing I wanted to point out in this is not Na'Vi, because, okay, that was a mixture of rosters and everything, whatever. You have Virtus Pro and Team Dignitas. They actually had to play a tiebreaker game to see who got the sixth place, because they had the same, they tied for six.
Right.
So you had Virtus Pro and Team Dignitas. Obviously, Dignitas ended up beating Virtus Pro. The one thing I wanted to take away from this is Virtus Pro, who is HLTV's ranked number one right now. They've dethroned SK Gaming. I think Thorne had them at number one in his latest rankings.
I haven't seen his latest ones, but...
They're up there. Okay, I don't know where they're at, but they're up there. And this is what I wanted to kind of, I want to get up on my soapbox here, if you don't mind, and make my case for the online, offline events, which ones matter, which ones should we look at, which ones should we throw away? Because there's been a lot of talk about it lately. I know Alchemist even tweeted out saying that a lot of the stats they use in E-League graphics or things that they have to pull are going to be from offline events. They don't really look at online as much. A, because there's just too many of it, and B, it's not, quote-unquote, you know, realistic. It's not their true stats, if you will.
Interesting.
I see his point. I'm not arguing that. And especially with that being an offline event, right? E-League being an offline event, sure, only look at offline scores, whatever. At the same time, I'm starting to see more and more people completely just ignore online results, just completely wiping them off the table, saying, well, it was online, who cares? Let's see how they perform at a LAN. Unless you're Virtus Pro, who performs so poorly online, you don't even make it to the LANs. They have an awful track record for online play. Virtus Pro, number one in the world, awful online play.
It's a running joke in the community how bad they are online, but how good they are on LAN.
And I don't care if you want to say, well, they're trying new strats or online's so different. We have played all our lives, you know, we've gone to LANs. If you've ever played at a LAN, you know it does play a little differently than online. You don't have to make up for lag, your shots register 100 times better.
Yeah.
It's much pure, I guess, as an offline, if you want to talk about a LAN event, if that's the word that I want to use. But it's not that different. Strategies are strategies.
No, I agree.
What is it about online that makes Virtus Pro such a joke? Like, does Pasha have his kid on his lap? Like what's going on?
I just have to imagine they just don't care. But I mean, can you blame them? when they lose off online qualifiers, they just get special treatment to get placed into the off or the, you know, the next season or whatever anyway.
No, and I don't necessarily blame them when they know that they're just going to get invited to all these seasons and leagues anyways. I agree with you, but at the same time, as a fan base, as someone who has a show, I can't ignore online play completely, because whether or not you want to admit that it counts, it does count.
Yeah.
It counts for something.
Yeah.
They would not have all these leagues done online and then be like, well, we're just going to invite the top teams that we think go to LAN anyways. We just did this, you know.
For giggles.
Yeah, we just did this for fun. If Flipside and Penta all of a sudden got first place in this, who got last place, are we all of a sudden going to be like, well, it was online?
The thing that I find kind of interesting about everyone throwing their results out the door is, like you said, not only is it like the qualifiers that lead up to these offline events, as somebody that kind of follows advanced statistics for some other sports, for NHL specifically, the more numbers and things that you have inside of your statistics, the more accurate they are. So why, and we've talked about this with Thorne's rankings, why, how can you use something that happens once or twice every couple of months versus stuff that happens every single day? Like that I think that things that happen every single day is much more indicative of a team than what they manage to do one online event at a time.
And I agree. I think,
it even goes all the way to the major. Like the major uses the previous major's placements to dictate the seeds, right? So it's kind of funny, especially when we've got teams that change over personnel so often, that we use something that's like 4 months outdated as the driving factor behind their placements.
And I also feel like as a community, people tend to throw out the poor results. Like Virtus Pro getting seventh place and not qualifying for the LANs for ESL season 4. The excuse is, well, it's online. Who, you know, it doesn't really count. We'll see them in the next LAN tournament and they'll do fine. But for instance, if Flipside all of a sudden got second place, we would all of a sudden be ranking them. People would be thinking of them more highly. Like,
yeah,
no one looks at Virtus Pro and thinks maybe not the number one team, or maybe not as good or clean as everyone thinks they are. But we throw it all away.
Yeah. And I find it real interesting as well. That extends even to individual players. I mean, think about when Stewie was added to the Cloud9 roster. You know, we said it takes time, but, you know, it's a young talent, da-da-da. Where a lot of the detractors of Stewie when he first got picked for the show was that he was a pug star. Like, all he could do is play online. He only had only been to one LAN. They got canned real bad in that LAN. Didn't even, you know, play more than two matches, I think. And he kind of had this reputation for only performing online. And that it's kind of like if the online results don't automatically agree with what your bias is, that they should just be tossed out.
And if there's anyone that doesn't give an F about your opinion, it's Stewie.
Yeah.
Do you know he uses a wireless mouse?
He told me that. Yeah.
Like that, I saw that. I forget what tournament it was, but I was like, what? He uses the Logitech wireless gaming mouse. I was like, my mind is officially like, I don't know what.
Do you remember when
start to use wireless? I don't know what to believe anymore.
Like, we used to like, there used to be a situation where people were going online to buy used Xbox controllers just to make sure they were wired back when the first wireless ones came out for 360.
I still have a wired Xbox controller for the PC, and I'm like, I'm not going to go wireless. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was a time where MLG would only allow you to use wireless controllers, or I'm sorry, wired controllers, because of all the wireless
interference.
Yeah, interference, quote unquote. And now look, like, PS4, you can't even, like, that's all wireless.
To be fair, I mean, we saw what happened with a PS4 wireless controller. Some random person connected to it and paused it, and
for
then
Street Fighter
game.
An actual Capcom sanctioned event
in
some,
the finals, right?
It was the grand finals.
Yeah.
Some dude was on a roll and then bloop, wireless controller connected, turned that piece off, and
yeah,
no one knows what happened.
So, oh, that was a tangent.
We'll see. But going back to the point is Stewie K or Stewie 2K again. Yeah, like you said, awful. I mean, really, not even awful. He had no land experience going into it. So,
yeah, so I say it's like if it doesn't automatically confirm your bias, people throw the online results out the window as like some extenuating factor outside of that person's skill or that team's ability caused it to happen.
And I do think that they should stay separate. You should have a separate stats column for both, but look at them the same. If that makes like, yeah, because totally for different, you want storylines, right? That's the whole point of this is you like storylines and you like to connect dots and see patterns. And so, yeah, you do need both. You like point in case Virtus Pro. We are talking like they're one of the worst teams in the world, but it's only because we see their online play and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Their offline play is unreal and they're an easily top five team then. So, yeah, they have stories. It has its purpose to be looked at separately, but people are acting like if it's online, then don't worry about it. Where I'm like, no. It counts for something. Whether or not the teams care about it, that's on them. That's their problem.
Yeah.
My job is to look at it just the same and be like, if you don't care, then that's the leagues matter. ECS, ESL, they all matter. So E-League is the rarity where their season actually is all LAN.
Yeah. And I agree. It's important to keep it separate. Like, to keep offline results, because I mean, Virtus Pro is a perfect example of it because they have such different results, you know, one way or the other. But I also think it's important to like take online results as a whole and not even compare them from team to team. It helps to see how this player performed against this team in the past multiple times. But I mean, that's all it should be used for, I think, is comparing a player to themselves previously. Like, it's kind of needs to be held into a vacuum on just that team or just that player's performance. But the fact that we've got, you know, E-League, who's arguably producing the most involved events, like with all the production they have going into, with the stats, screens, and stuff that are outside of their own event, like they use stuff from other events, I think it's silly to just completely disregard all the statistics, unless they're just impossible to get. I mean, it very well could be, you would think, computer games. It would be somewhere easy to obtain, or developers would want people to have this, considering it's, I mean, the numbers are there. They have to be there. Why people won't be able to access them is beyond me, but I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah, so that's my little beef there. I wanted to get it off my chest because for 2 weeks now, I've been seeing people on Reddit and Twitter and everyone say these online events just aren't as important, where by definition, they are. They're qualifiers. If qualifiers aren't important for you, then I guess neither is making the finals, because that's how you get there, is through these online events. You have to be proficient at both for me to consider you a top elite team, which I do think Virtus Pro is a top team. It just drives me insane that it is such a obvious difference of their effort.
Speaking of which, you said it was the top six teams that get into each group.
Yes.
So VP is not in the LAN finals.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what this whole thing was brought up, is that they didn't even qualify because their lack of caring. They tied for Dignitas and then they had a playout match. They had their one little playoff between the two of them.
I'm surprised they didn't just give it to Dignitas for the round differential.
Yeah. I mean, that's more of exciting of a tiebreaker, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess having another game would make more sense.
Now, I did say top six with a little asterisk next to it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to move on to North America, where you have Cloud9, Immortals, SK Gaming, Optic, NRG, and then Renegades. However, if you look at the groups, Renegades will not be there because the Renegades opted to go to the Asian Minor, which is being held the same exact weekend. I know during the pregame you were like, well, that's dumb. But if you look at the teams in the Asian Minor, I don't think they were really concerned about conflicting schedules.
Yeah, Renegades is, I think, that is definitely the only overlapping. I find it funny that Renegades is still competing in Oceanic qualifiers.
It's their home, man.
But they're the Detroit Renegades. They've been here for like a year and a half or something, 2 years now, haven't they?
Yeah, but I mean, A, apart from Tyler, they're probably the favorites.
Well, yeah.
And B, yeah, I think maybe fan base. They might have more fans over there, and this is all part of marketing. Right, you clearly looking at the Asian Minor, which is made up of Tyloo, VG, Bot, MVP, Renegades. I mean, need I say more? It's clearly that's a strategical move of we probably stand a better chance earning some money here compared to there. That yeah. being said, because they are bowing out of ESL Pro League, they basically just moved everybody up one, which NRG went to fifth, and Liquid, who was not even close to qualifying, they were 6 points behind NRG, end up qualifying now. So Liquid, who again is a team that struggles online or in between majors, I should say, and then performs very well on LAN or on the big stage.
Yeah.
So Team Liquid squeezes by. They get the VP treatment this time around. And you will see them in, let's see, the way they do their group. So group A, I guess I should start this. So group A is Fnatic, Immortals, Mousesports, Optic Gaming, Team Envious, and Team Liquid. So we've been talking about teams that have kind of benefited, or I'm sorry, that have had the disadvantage of roster moves, you know, i.e. Na'Vi, right? Their roster moves midseason kind of really hurt them.
Yeah.
Astralis was never really in the right state of mind. Then you have teams like Fnatic, where they were first place in Europe, and look at their recent things. Would you think Fnatic would be the first place of anything? I mean, really, if you look at the whole European side of it, it wasn't nearly as predictable. When you think of FaZe, Dignitas, Envious, and Mousesports, like those are the teams going to represent Europe.
Yeah, I mean that's
advantage of what
I'm more
what's
impressed
offered.
That Fnatic managed to finish
that they were
that's
able
how
to
they did.
To hold off the roster moves, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah. I mean, because they kind of struggled after the initial roster move, but they were able to at least finish atop for the first seed in that one. And they still have to go up against Immortals and Mousesports. I don't know anyone else on that group that's going to give them much of a run for their money, especially
you don't see
not
Liquid?
Liquid.
I could see Liquid being a dark horse of the tournament.
I don't know. Ever since they've lost Simple, they just haven't had that it's so cliche to say, that great game breaker talent.
Game breaker. No, I've had their last one. What was it? ESL New York?
Yeah, Elige played out of his mind.
Right. Well, and that's what gave me hope is that Elijah's performance, JDM needs to pick it up. He's, to me, has been struggling. Pimp has been doing okay for being the new guy. But that's what hurts there. Group B, you have Cloud9, NiP, SK, FaZe, NRG, and Dignitas. Cloud9, they ran away with it as far as the season goes. Do you have their...
Yeah, Cloud9.
Yeah, for their record for ESL.
Oh, yeah, they went 25-1.
25-1.
I mean,
that is a result of a insane August and September.
I mean, they had 75 points throughout the ESL Pro League season. Next closest was Immortals at 60. So they kind of dominated throughout the entire season.
So you want to look at there. So they had 75. Let's jump over to Europe. Fnatic had 57. So that's the poised... 57 got you first place in Europe. 57 would have gotten you third place in the North American ladder.
Yeah, but it would have gotten him third. I mean, even then,
Team Dignitas, they qualified with 42 points. 45, 42 wouldn't even have qualified for North America.
But if you look at the bottom side of North America...
You definitely have the...
There's some teams down there that just got beat up on the entire season.
I mean, you have teams like Splice, United, and Selfless. I will... Fair point that the North American side has a little bit more of a cushion.
I say that. I go look at the EU side again. They have Penta and Flipside. Penta went 5-21 and Flipside went 4-22. So EU kind of had some teams to beat up on as well.
Overall, though, this is happening in 2 weeks. We kind of wanted to just use it as the platform for CSGO as a whole because a lot's been going on. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think for the sake of the theater, it'd be cool. It would slowly suck my life force away, but I think it'd be cool to see Immortals and SK, like a Brazilian finals in Brazil.
Play each other.
It would absolutely suck my life away. Just,
you know,
it'd
be so entertaining, though.
Hear that for the rest of my life, but
it'd be really entertaining to be there and see which Brazilian team they decide to root for. Because every time a Brazilian team plays, it's like the Brazilians versus the world. But what if a Brazilian team plays another Brazilian team?
Do you think we'll finally see fandom in esports?
I'm not convinced that a black hole just won't happen in the middle of the stadium.
It'd be really fun to see Liquid and Cloud9 be in the finals and just see how empty the stadium gets. Just everyone just walks out.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty entertaining too, to see the Brazilian fans not appreciate a North American final.
Let's see. Who is the talent for this? I don't even know. Do you have... Trying to transition. I was trying to do a smooth transition, but I don't have that in front of me.
You know what? I don't know if it's even been announced. Oh, broadcast talent. Here we go. It has not been announced yet, or at least Liquidpedia is not updated yet. If I have to assume it's the normal people, you probably have Machine hosting, Pansy. I bet you Dazed.
Think of the people. Ooh,
Moses,
Dazed.
Blue.
Yep. Because you got to think E-League is going on, so
Sponge.
That affects people's...
Sponge will probably be doing the casting.
I believe he goes by his real name now, sir.
I don't know his real name,
I think it's Chris.
Oh.
I don't know. We're not friends, so he ignored me on Reddit, so we're not friends.
Anyway, I assume that's going to be your cast of Natu's probably doing some of it, I assume. I don't know how many people they're going to have. I'll be utterly surprised if Dazed is not there, though, because Reddit had a freaking conniption fit when he started doing
the
analyst.
Hey, man, you got a job again. Well, you got to hate on Dazed.
Because I watched his video complaining about rank S play today.
Complaining about pugs?
Yeah, he's like, this sucks, and it sucks because of this. I'm like, dude, you're playing a pug for money.
Like, what do you...
Why are you complaining
about
it?
Sponge's name is Chad, by the way.
Oh.
Chad.
Anyway.
Yeah, no. So let me hear your case then on talent spilling over into other games.
All right. So for those that don't go to any esport subreddit, which I highly doubt any of you fall into that demographic, Thorin and Monte Cristo just released a video covering competitive Overwatch, sort of.
Now they're big though.
So Thorin is huge in Counter-Strike.
The League of Legends though.
Huge
they
in Counter-Strike.
Both do
he
a League,
does
of,
League
Legends
of Legends
podcast.
Yep. Monte Cristo is this ginormously popular a League of Legends caster and analyst who most recently got a lot of kind of notoriety because he actually turned down Riot's offer to do one of their LCS events because they were not going to pay him enough. I guess he demanded more money and they said no. And so none of his, as far as I know, he has kind of a thing similar to like Anders and Simler have with Room on Fire. Like he has kind of
like a talent
agency sort of thing. Wow. So none of his,
what a nice problem to have, turning down because they didn't offer you enough.
Yeah. His talent.
We'll take lunch.
The group.
You pay for airfare and lunch.
Yeah.
And I'll meet you halfway.
anyway, they released a 2-hour-long video on Overwatch. Of course, it immediately got tons of notoriety and upvotes because it was these two guys that everybody loves from their perspective games doing an Overwatch thing, which everybody has pretty much played Overwatch. It's an insanely popular game, so everyone kind of has a background on it.
From what I've known, in my experience of playing Overwatch, sir, everyone's a pro.
Well, yeah, pro Genji, basically. But my issue with it is neither one of them have... I almost feel kind of weird talking about it like this because I don't have a whole lot of competitive background either. But neither one of them have huge competitive backgrounds inside of this game. But they're using their already built-in notoriety to kind of overshadow people that do. And I can tell you right now that no current caster or analyst is ever going to come out and say, I don't want these guys doing videos in my community because it's making me look not as good.
Right.
But I kind of feel like you have your thing, right? Do your thing. Let other people do their thing.
Yeah, well, so...
I mean, this even goes all the way to Anders and similar casting Overwatch.
I won't ever hate on someone for, you know, putting more food on the table, if you will. Right? Follow the money.
Yeah.
I can't hate on anyone for that. I can hate on them for personal reasons because I'm kind of in agreement with you where I'd like to see other talent, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
It gets old after a while. But that being said, I mean, there's even in traditional sports, think of like Joe Buck. Joe Buck does football and baseball. Now, the difference is he doesn't do every baseball game or every football game. He does like one a week and then playoffs when they start. So that's the difference. And he's only does like play by play. It's not an overload of them.
Yeah.
Compared to where in esports, I mean, if Thorne's at an event, you're going to get a lot of Thorne. It's
12
for a week.
Hours of right. Him. Yeah.
So that's one difference there. And especially when, like you said, like there's other people in there that I guess that's one of the beauties of it is that you can just not listen to it and then listen to ZP or anyone else in Overwatch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I get your point though, where it's kind of like,
I just feel like
you're going to get a large part of listener base that is instantly, even though Thorne came out and said, I'm really here for my professional opinions, not for my knowledge of the game. You're still going to get people who listens to his opinion and think this is fact.
Yeah.
Which I guess that comes with the territory when, you know, your followers is 14-year-olds and there's about 100,000 of them.
Yeah. And watching that, this drives me so insane is, I mean, these guys have been doing this for so long and they're still recording on a laptop webcam with a little square picture of their face as like the production.
With the up angle?
Yes, right? like if this laptop I have right in front of me was looking up my nose.
Could you at least get a tripod or something? Yeah. Like, would it make you feel better if it was like at least an HD camera that they were using?
Yes, just something to make it look like you've put some effort into it other than just showing up.
Not like you just woke up and thought, oh man, we have this 2.5-hour show.
Have you ever seen like Richard Lewis do his videos where it's like in his forehead, like he's like leaning into the camera. And I mean, I know you guys know how to do this. You've been around long enough to know how to do it.
Of what some production value looks like?
Just something to make it a little better, but they don't have to.
No.
Because as long as it's them making sick, dank, banter, meme, whatever you want to call it, people are going to just eat it up. And I mean, I don't know. That kind of irks me. It's not people don't care about my opinion on it. And they will still watch Thorne with his stupid webcam and his stupid scarf sipping his stupid hot tea every time he does a video.
Yeah, this is true. It's the folly of man when you have a big following.
Yeah.
So there's that outlook on it. My outlook on it is, and I feel like it's helping a little bit. Like the fact that there's so many leagues now, and like CSGO, and then you have now Overwatch is slowly going. There's not nearly as many tournaments. I feel like that Overwatch Open was the biggest one, and there hasn't really been.
There's another one coming up. I'm not positive of the dates, but.
But as far as like leagues or anything like that, there's nothing. But it's like there's so many of them now, like other places are forced to use other talent, which is kind of a nice thing.
Yeah.
Like I know like at first everyone was complaining, and we even said it on the show, like there's too many leagues. We don't need, every sponsor doesn't need to eventually have its own tournament or league. The upside to that, though, is that the talent does get spread out. Like, for instance, coming up here in 2 weeks when you have the ESL major, or I'm sorry, the ESL season 4 finals, and then you have this Asian minor going on, you have Sir Scoots now doing the Asian minor. Well, how long has it been since we've seen Scoots? I think it was MLG Columbus.
And I love him doing hosting. He's super good at that part.
Yeah, so I think it helps now that you have these overlapping tournaments, and which overlapping tournaments isn't a bad thing. It's, you know, it's going to be a bad thing when the same teams qualify for both. Like Renegades qualifying for both, I don't think destroys anyone's opinion on it. Well, but
and there was a lot of people upset about or teams specifically. I remember All of Mice are complaining, and SK I think complaining about games immediately following ESL 1 New York, pro league games following like the next 2 days afterwards, so they're all jet lagged and everything. And there was a huge thing on Reddit where ESL said, "Well, we gave them time to schedule their games and da 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 da." So
it's one. I mean, yeah, it's. The league has to also look out for their own, and if they give everyone a week off, then when do they have time to play? So that's the downside of having too many leagues, which we've talked about before, and it's not going to change until the players finally say it's enough is enough. But as far as talent wise goes, I mean, all it's going to do is make you spread out the talent a little more and reach a little deeper, give Blue more time on camera, which I love Blue. I think he's great. He's definitely matured. I have a picture of Blue. And I think I've showed you this.
You sent it to me, yeah.
Maybe I need to tweet it. So I don't know what happened like within the year. And I didn't even know this was Blue at the time that I took this picture. The dude looks like he's like 13. And it was awful. It was a tournament on... it wasn't even on Twitch. It was like some offbeat streaming service, and it was Blue and some dude doing a game, but they were wearing like polos, and not even like nice looking polos, like Abercrombie and Fitch polos, and it looked so bad, and I had to take a screenshot of it, and I was like, this is why I can't show my friends esports. And now fast forward like a year, and Blue is wearing a suit.
Blue looks very professional. Good on camera.
Yeah, he's great, and I like it. So it's, you know, it's not a loss. I know you said it on our
literally grown up.
You said it on our Discord where it's like, when is esports talent going to learn that just throwing a blazer on?
Yeah. So Dreadnought during his BlizzCon announcement.
Dreadnought will. The MOBA crowd, the closer the game gets to anime, the more acceptable it is just to throw on a blazer over a t-shirt.
I don't know what's worse.
We're going to come down.
I don't know
down,
what's worse, the League of Legends vest and jeans, or
that's a big player,
or the Heroes of the Storm blazer over the t-shirt.
We're going to come down to a time where one of these Dota tournaments, one of these League of Legends tournaments, the dude's just going to show up in straight cosplay. It's going to happen.
I'm sure that's happened before.
Like,
I mean, the only thing that competes with it is Smash. Like, I've seen Smash casters in, like, Pikachu hats or...
Well, so that's different, though, because Smash, they will use the actual competitors in some of their games.
Yeah.
So they're not... Normally... Like Scar and stuff, they're normally looking pretty sharp. They've came around like 2 weeks ago, and I wish we'd, it's irrelevant now, but the Big House 6 happened like 2 weeks ago, which is awesome. It's like my favorite event of the year, and Mango won. So, you know, there's that. But they looked pretty sharp. Awful production value. But that's kind of what I like about Smash events, is that for whatever reason, that being said, there's a level of awful production value. So I'm not going to talk about Big House 6 because it's irrelevant. Mango 1, everyone knows this. I am going to talk about the production value. Whoever is running there, and I'm an audio guy. I work in radio. I don't do camera. Look at our YouTube. I hate it. I don't get it. Don't do it. I do audio. Whoever is running their audio board must be either deaf or he's not wearing headphones. Because throughout the whole time, like in between matches, you know, you have like underbed music, you know, like just soft, whatever. This was like jazz funk guitar in the background. And the whole time, like, let me give you an example of what it would be like. Okay. So like normally, like when you're talking, you want it like at about there, right?
Okay.
Something in the background, something to, if there's dead air, it's not completely awkward. Well, they had like jazz funk guitar, seriously, like this during analysis. So it's like you're sitting here talking and it's just
all you can hear
all night. It's just like, well, and Mango and his fox and blah blah blah, and it's like, and it's like, oh my god, like this can't, like who do I need to call to tell them to turn this down? It's distracting and you can't hear the guys even. And like one guy's mic is super loud and the other guy's is super low. Look, I get it.
Maybe they had the competitors running the soundboard.
It was driving me nuts. Love the event though. Still, it's Big House. It's the last bit of a homegrown tournament as you can get. I mean, it's still just craziness and you never know what's going to happen and it's awesome. But their production value this year, it was less to be desired. Let's just say that. But let's move on to e-news. I feel like did you get that off your chest? Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I mean.
Do you feel like you have made a dent in any of your crusade?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, none.
Let's move
matter,
on.
Matter of fact,
you probably just made it worse because now you're just going to get blown up on Twitter at @brandineu.
I can imagine I'll be blocked or somebody will call me stupid and I'll have like 50 million notifications of people telling me how bad I life.
All because you disagreed with one person.
Yeah. Not the first time.
At @brandineu. For e-news, I have one contribution here. So Combat Cup, which is Mortal Kombat's kind of pro league, if you will, that is kicking off the road to Evo. That is October 23rd. Their season runs through October 23rd through January 15th, with the finals being the 29th. So that is coming up just this weekend. So check that out. I also have Mark Cuban has finally broke his silence. And when I say finally, I mean this is like a year. Because like this was early on into the show when
we emailed him in like December.
I talked to him in person. I saw Mark in the parking garage and I was like, Cubes. Saw dude.
What's up, Cubes?
Saw dude. You want to come on the show? And he was like, no. Okay. Well,
we
did you not, did I say my name loud enough? Do you not know what we're doing here? No, he said he would like to come on the show, but this was back in IEM San Jose, like beginning of the year or late last year or whatever it was. And he said, you know, he has interest in esports, but he doesn't know yet. So he didn't want to talk about it until a smart investor would do, till he knows. Well, he finally spoke on it, and he says that he's not really interested in esports teams at the moment, mainly because of the player turnover rate. Just the fact that there's just so much, the players burn out too fast on teams. Point in case, Astralis, who has literally ripped through half their roster and replacements in the last couple of months.
Man, I would love to see some kind of breakdown on Astralis. I mean, this is kind of, it says it's a player-owned organization and they technically own shares of that team.
Well, those players don't have any say, apparently, because they're out.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, and I've seen some comments on that of Mark Cuban, again, I feel like esports community is the quickest community ever to get their pitchforks out and become an apologist. And they're like, well, Mark, just look at professional sports. You get young talent and turnover every year. Yeah, but you also have players signing like 7-year contracts. Where in esports, being on a team for 9 months is long.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, this guy owns a professional sports team. He's a billionaire. When he says turnover, he means he wants to sign 2-3-year contracts, which realistically, I would say in esports, I bet you when it becomes like a real thing, quote unquote, I bet you 3 to 4 years will be like what's considered a super long contract.
I agree.
Like even when it becomes mainstream and you have franchises and all this, I don't think you're going to see 7-year contracts or anything like that. I think a 3-year contract will be like, whoa. And like if it's a 4-year, that's like, you know, you're signing simple to a 4-year and then handling the rest with smaller contracts.
I mean, so when you think of longest running team, does Virtus Pro come to mind?
Well, yeah, they haven't made a roster change in
They formed in January of 2014.
14? Okay.
So, I mean, that is an anomaly that it's been over 2 years.
Right.
So I
think
you're
right.
Well,
and they've even came out and said it, saying, like, a roster move is the last thing that they're going to do.
Yeah.
They are the, you know, needle in a haystack, the diamond in the rough, to where you're just not going to see that happen. And that's, like you said, that's 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, imagine within that 2 years, how many times have they had a rough spot where people said, you need to make a roster change right now or you will never become the old Virtus Pro. And now look at them. They're basically old Virtus Pro.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're the same.
But that's what I'm saying. I think the average contract that you would even see is a lockdown 1 to 2 years with maybe 5 years. But 4 definitely being like, you would make the elite.
Do you think you're going to see a situation like we do in pro sports now where you've got players on different length of contracts?
Yeah. Oh, no. I definitely think you're going to see less of...
less full rosters moving?
Yeah, there will be way less full rosters. This is my prediction for future rosters. There'll be way less full roster moves because you're going to have... like, you're going to want to sign simple to a longer term. Right?
For sure.
Like, clearly, Simple is a player that makes a difference on a team compared to, say, Pimp on Liquid. You might not sign him for a 4-year deal. You might give him
a year.
A year. See how it works. Maybe throw in options, right?
Yeah.
Throw in whatever. Yeah. Say a year with a 8 months reevaluation, right? I could see something like that. But I could definitely also see where teams are based less off of... you will see less roster moves based off of friendships and more roster moves based off of talent and contract. Because look at Fnatic. 80% of that entire roster blow up was basically because they didn't get along anymore. Olufmeister said it himself, that it wasn't fun. They weren't having fun with each other and, it, you know...
Right.
So it's like, so what? You faced adversity? Is that what you're saying? You know, the team wasn't holding hands anymore. You were number one in the world. Like, do you think they would want to go back and redo that here in a year when things might not work? I mean, so far Fnatic looks to be adjusting a little bit better than Godsent. But again, that could also just be that Fnatic is still reaping the rewards of
their
old Fnatic
performances.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
The only reason they were invited to ESL New York is... old Fnatic. The only reason they're number one right now is old Fnatic. So that's one thing there. But yeah, I definitely don't think you're going to see these giant roster blowups. I think you're also going to see a trade deadline to where it's going to be easier to see this go.
We need one of the seasons or one of the leagues to take over and become more.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
they kind of all do fall in line. I think E-League is actually the only one that kind of messes with the rotation.
Yeah, I'm not talking in the next year. I'm talking, this is going to be a couple years down the road when you start seeing... when you start seeing teams franchise is when you're going to start seeing this. Not investors, but owners. There's a difference. All these NBA players are investors. They're not owners. They don't make decisions. There's no GM to a team.
Right.
Right? Half of these roster moves are based off of Hiko saying he doesn't like someone. And so then they're off the team. I'm talking when there's ownership in a team, not just investors. There's a difference.
So that's actually a perfect transition. One of the things I've got for E! News right now, Amish Saha, who's a founding partner of the venture capitalist fund Sierra Maya 360, which is one of the investors in Team Envious, recently did an interview with Yahoo Esports where he said that all these investors that are jumping into esports right now are doing it so they're not left behind. And it's causing a lot of super high valuations for teams. Basically, he's saying these B-rated teams, a direct quote, right now B-rated teams are going higher valuations than they should. So like NRG that Shaq invested in, he said they've probably lost over $2 million on that deal already.
Of course they have. No matter how many tweets Shaq sends out, I'm not going to care about NRG. I'm not going to be their fan.
So he's basically saying that all of these giant investors that are jumping into esports right now are on the verge of creating a bubble, an esports bubble that people have been kind of murmuring about every once in a while, driving up the cost of these teams where eventually people are going to just like pull all their money out at once and the market could potentially collapse. He said it's not all bad because the owners of these teams are getting all of this money. And the smart ones will probably pull out right before the bubble burst and are set for life. But
it's good for the owners.
It could be dangerous for the teams.
Look at the players, and yeah, half these owners are in their 20s. They're not gonna.
Yep.
They're not gonna care. Almost, it kind of branches off from our last discussion about like how this NBA connection, and I even brought up saying this is not an NBA connection. This is a millionaire connection. This is a rich person connection.
Yeah.
Same thing. Eventually, teams are not going to get their returns. The Philadelphia 76ers buying into Dignitas doesn't make Dignitas a popular team. It doesn't make them a good team. No one's going to go and buy a Dignitas t-shirt. I won't say no one. Maybe some Philadelphia diehards will do this. The only way you're going to start seeing people care about teams that they had no reason to care about before is like how the Renegades with Detroit. Because if you're in Detroit and you're thinking, will I care about esports? Well, you're just going to go buy a Detroit Renegades t-shirt. Right?
Yeah.
It's almost like, think about it here, like with us in soccer. Are we huge soccer fans? Me, of course. I'm a producer of a soccer talk show every week.
Me, absolutely not.
So, of course, I know everything about soccer. That being said, we own FC Dallas merchandise. Because we've gone to the games and it's our local soccer team and the games are fun.
The games are fun.
The games are awesome, but we don't know really anything about them.
No.
But we bought their t-shirt because it's your local team and that there you go. They earned some revenue there. So that's the only way these esports teams are going to all of a sudden, these investors become relevant is if you
localize it.
Yeah, you have to localize it to make the outside fan care. Because no fan, like, who's going to be all of a sudden be like, hell yeah, NRG, can't wait to watch them. Oh, they're like worst in every league? Woof. Still, can't wait. Shaq tweeted about them. I love them now. Like,
yeah. That's a great point.
Don't think that's how that fandom works. And if it does work, it's going to work for a t-shirt sale and then quickly go away. You have to tie in city loyalty.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Brazilian fans
are so...
Look at me,
I'm a Lions fan for how many... I've been a Lions fan all my life, and they went 0-16 one year.
Yeah.
So, Brazil. Poor Luminosity. I don't think they have as many fans now, but they're crazy teams.
They're crazy about their local teams. When Luminosity switched to SK, I felt like every Brazilian went out and immediately got an SK jersey.
Agreed.
Anyway, in a complete change of pace, YouTube Red is getting an esports sitcom produced by Dan Harmon, the creator of Rick and Morty and Community. it's supposed to debut in 2017 and already has a 6-episode order.
So when I first saw that headline, I actually saw that and I wasn't going to say it in E! News because I didn't know the name. I don't know. I love Rick and Morty. I think it's an awesome show, but I didn't care because I thought YouTube Red, which sounds like a porn site. Sounds like when I hear YouTube Red, I just think of RedTube. And so I don't know.
That's, YouTube needs to work on that branding.
Side note, they need to rebrand YouTube Red because it definitely sounds like an adult section of YouTube, which, by the way, not a bad idea. But I guess I'm interested now. Rick and Morty has earned enough stripes. I don't really know much about YouTube Red. I guess it's
their I didn't know they had shows, but like I've seen a GIF on one of the GIF keyboards you can get nowadays that has Raynad saying like "oh no" or something from a YouTube movie thing that he did. And I was like, I didn't know YouTube did all these things. I thought it was people thrown in front of a webcam.
We're old, man. We're the days of just
technology
the
has
days
left me behind.
Of enjoying belly drop on YouTuber. Long
oh,
gone.
Dude. Really?
It's an awesome video. Look it up. Do me a favor. If you're listening this far into the show, go to YouTube and just look up belly drop and get back to me on Twitter and just say thank you. Just don't even say it. Just say, at Pirate Mushroom, thank you. And I'll know exactly what you're talking about.
I feel bad for Troy. I know he's going to listen.
Well, he's the only one that does. Yeah. So, hey, Troy, what's up? Anyways, like I said, I guess that's cool. Whatever. We'll see. I probably won't watch it because it's on YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was on RedTube, I'd see it.
An esports sitcom on RedTube? That could get interesting.
I'm just saying it would probably up the chances of me seeing it.
Probably has something to do with Richard Lewis and Hiko's mom and
You got
Loda.
Something going here.
Yeah.
You have something going here. Just Thorn.
I should have stopped there.
Thorn in the background. With his scarf on. That's an image. Anyways, things are getting weird here on episode 44, so it's probably best that we just call it a night. Thank you so much for listening to TCR, The Center Ring. You can find us on our website, www.worldwideweb.com. Nope, that's not the website. TCR.gg.
That was smooth.
It's been 2 weeks. TCR.gg, that's our website. Ignore everything I just said. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Center Ring, me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom, and Brandon at Brand Any New. There's a little contact section. Everything there. Let us know what you think of the show. Share it with your friends, your loved ones. I don't really care. Until then, we will see you next week. We will probably talk a little bit more about Counter-Strike, breakdown E-League Group A, preview Group B. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.